This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
It's time for our Feed Forum Friday with Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois. Hello, Mike.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to be looking at the role of the mammary gland in controlling blood calcium levels. This is reported recently in a webinar by Dr. Laura Hernandez from the University of Wisconsin. We do know that mammary gland controls calcium, primarily from removal due to lactation, hormonal shifts that occur, and various treatment strategies out there on the dairy farm. Lactation will stimulate calcium mobilization and try to increase the amount that we really need out there in the program. Calcium typically drops in the transition period just prior to calving. And the real question is, how much does it drop? The cut point tends to be about 8.2 milliliters per deciliter. How long does a cow drop in calcium? And then how quickly does she recover? So the parathyroid ends up being a key hormone because it increases calcium absorption from urine and dietary absorption. We do know that work that done at Wisconsin looked at three strategies. They're looking at a calcium binder, which is called calcium chelator. Some of your listeners would identify EDTA as one of them. However, in the dairy cow, we use EGTA. Then they also compare that to the binders, which are the zeolite-type products on the marketplace, and the negative DCAD products that can be used also to improve calcium status in cows, such things as ultra-chlor, soy-chlor, bio-chlor, animate products, much like that. And what they found out at Wisconsin by using the EGTA, which cannot be used as treatment of animals, is that they could really monitor the response. And they would tie up the calcium and causes a 1,25-hydroxy-D3. And that's kind of the magic compound that really kicks in from the liver, goes to the kidney, and then forms the 1,25-hydroxy-D3. So that's kind of the route. The EGTA did work that. The zeolite will do that same type of response. However, here we're looking at tying up phosphorus, lowering up the phosphorus, and therefore stimulating the 1,25-hydroxy-D3. And the same mechanism that occurs with the DCAD products out there. However, they're using urine pHs as an indicator as far as excreting the hydrogen ion as far as that goes. We know that cows have the ability to manipulate calcium if their mechanism is turned on. Certain levels of calcium decrease is common after calving. The Cornell data shows that cows have a slight dip for one day and then return to normal levels, have highest milk production there. Certainly, there are management tools that we can do prepartum to these cows. We just mentioned two of them, and we're hoping that the cow's homeostatic mechanism will kick in and control calcium as far as that goes. So our take-home messages are that certainly blood calcium is important to be managed because it can lead to hypocalcemia and milk fever if it happens to be to the extreme. And as we said, we do have tools that we can use in the prepartum diet that can help manipulate blood calciums and get cows off to a great start. Well, that completes our program for today. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now. The USDA this week released its final decision on proposed amendments to federal milk marketing orders, but what is next for producers and dairy organizations? Well, USDA Radio's Rod Bain caught up with Agricultural Marketing Service Deputy Administrator Dana Cole.
A final decision on amendments associated with federal milk marketing orders.
We have a system put in place originally in 2000, then it was updated in 2008. It was determined that the factors used in those formulas needed to be reexamined.
Dana Cole of USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service from last July, when the recommended decisions on FMMO uniform pricing formulas were published in the Federal Register.
Changes to the implementation period on our milk composition changes. We changed a few of the class one differentials that we had proposed initially. We made some modification to the make allowance for non-fat dry milk in particular, and we incorporated a marketing cost factor into those make allowances as well.
Tuesday, AMS announced that the final decision on those amendments will also be published in the Federal Register soon. Producer referendums at each of the 11 federal milk marketing orders must take place before changes take effect. AMS will soon mail ballots to eligible independent producers and qualified cooperative associations. Deadlines include ballots postmarked by December 31st and returned by January 15th to be counted. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.